Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, beginning year number 12 of independent progressive broadcasting on the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. You know all this part. Yeah. Oh, throw the third switch, Bob. So, yes, the third switch has been thrown on the beginning of the 12th year of progressive independent listener-supported broadcasting on the horn. Those of you listening to the podcast will say, well, he kind of just said that twice, but I've only said it once for the group listening live. So, yeah. But the third switch is thrown, the broadcast is broadcasting, the packets are passing, and we are rolling. Mm-hmm. It'll take a minute for internet latency to catch up. Hence the string of throw the third switch, throw the third switch, throw the third switch. Throw the third switch! It's thrown, believe me. I have it here. I threw it. I threw it across the room. It bounced off the studio door. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you'd like to join the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza, zany though it be, that is the Horn chat room, just run on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on, yes, chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will immediately be greeted by Don from Central PA, Hoghead, Jug of Punch, VT Blom, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky, who apparently has found good reason, though he is a third stage guild navigator, has found a good reason not to fold space. And he is, in fact, remaining merely Sparky this evening for your convenience. Yes. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Tim from L.A. isn't here to remind me, but lucky for me, I recalled. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. Loud and clear. Willkommen zurück und guten Abend. Ach, und guten Abend zum Du auch. Also, haben Sie haben Worten sein. Mm-hmm. Schlag. You know, Mark Twain said you can always just throw a Zug or a Schlag in and an also, and you pretty much bought yourself all the time you need in German. Thank you, Hoghead. 77 degrees Fahrenheit in Joseph Smith's Garden of Eden. No Joseph Smith references till tomorrow, Hoghead. Let's not get ahead of ourselves because it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, the 25th day of October 2016 at the Horn. And that, of course, means it's Titanic Tuesday. You might recall we celebrate Titanic Tuesday as a means of noting the Titanic intellect that often pervades the right wing in this country. The name comes from something that happened many, many years ago now, when a right wing blabber who is no longer on the air fired up the microphone one morning to read the newspaper to his mouth breathing, knuckle walking followers. and was interrupted in his morning monotone by one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who said, Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowheres near the beach. To which, in that magnificent monotone, he replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic Lark's Vomit Canapé Crisper. No word at all. It's probably somewhere down at the bottom of the Atlantic yet. But we use Tuesdays to recall those great moments of full steam ahead into the iceberg examples of right-wing wisdom, brames, et cetera. Yeah, brames. Brames. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Steve. Guten Abend auch zu dir. Prepositions. Zoom, such, nach. All you can do is throw one into the breach and see if it holds back the tide. Yeah. This is a listener-supported program. I'm proud to say that we're caught up from last night, and bills are being paid. Well, they've been paid today, and we've got remember two things. Two things are out there. One, and this is important. Ralph's put an offer on that remains. There's 10 days left in it. Ralph's put an offer on the table to add in. Celebration of the 11th anniversary of the Horn, to add $11 to every new subscription between now and Election Day. As of last night, there were 11 days left. 11, right, got it, yeah. And so that will get $11 added to the first month subscription for every new subscriber between now and Election Day, November the 8th. Okay, so that offer's on the table, and that is really, really, really wonderful. Now, beyond that, courtesy of Harold, the chairman and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, three new subscribers this month will get their subscription rounded up $5 a month for the whole year. Okay. This offer recurs each month until canceled. So three brand new subscribers. Say you subscribe at $10. Harold over at the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will add to your subscription half again. So your 10 becomes 15. Your 15 would become 20. And you get bumper stickers. Remember, please, as long as you input a mailing address. You know, I was going through trying to send out bumper stickers a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed that we've got some subscribers that didn't provide a mailing address. And that's kind of a pity. But make sure there's a mailing address there so that I can get these things out to you, because I want you to have them. That's what our buddy Scott in Sweden provided them for, right down to the postage. So, new subscribers, every new subscriber between now and November 8th gets an $11 added on to their first month subscription. And three lucky new subscribers, the next three new subscribers over at headonradionetwork.com, contribute, click the little box, make this a recurring monthly donation. Three new subscribers will get their subscription rounded up, courtesy of the Happy Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, by $5 a month for the whole year. Okay? Great. And thank you very kindly both to Harold and to Ralphs, because these little incentives mean a lot in terms of independent progressive broadcasting that, that exists out there on a shoestring. I mean, you know, we joke about the Gulfstream 5 and the Maybach, and sadly, we joke about Agnes Viking Warrior Princess's massages and her masseur. They aren't real. There's a lot that's not real about the, no, not a lot of luxury at all. Those Chateaubriand breakfasts just aren't happening, and the lobster lunches, well, the lobsters are safe in their tank over at Kroger's, believe you me. So we're looking for new subscribers, and we're looking to raise every evening $200. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.13, however you want to break it up. So it's all over there at headonradionetwork.com under the Contribute tab. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, and some of you do, that's fine. That's why we maintain a mailbox. And that's why Boss Man Wayne has the spider-proof gloves. And that's why he keeps a tire iron handy for when he goes to our little UPS store location at 1038 North Eisenhower Drive. Because the Klan also, and because UPS likes to do business with the Klan, go figure. Brown will get it done for the Klan. But no, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. And shoot me a note, let me know something's on the way so I can warn Boss Man Wayne. Because he put, even with the spider proof gloves, the mailbox can be a little scary. You open it up and it's just, hello? Yeah, it's an echo chamber. Okay, so it is Titanic Tuesday. It's 12 minutes past the hour. No. The Cabana Professional, Asa, is also not real. No. I wish. Oh, yeah. And another note I want to share with you this evening. You've heard me over the years share notes from our buddy, Luta. Luta has shared his thoughts on a number of topics. A regular listener on a most every night. And Luta has been battling sarcoma for 11 years. It's no fun. In fact, it's, dangerous. Luta writes, after fighting cancer sarcoma for 11 years, I'm now on my 8th reoccurrence. I've been battling this time since October 2015. I've done chemotherapy, an experimental freezing of two tumors on the left side. I've had a major surgery removing the tumors on the right side, but no to no avail. I still have tumors in my chest, and I'm running out of options. I now have the chance to go to the Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota. But unfortunately, it's a lot of back-and-forth travel, as well as them not taking my insurance because freedom. But I can't pass up the opportunity to get treatment at the Mayo. My life is very important to me. Hopefully, with advanced treatments at the Mayo, my cancer will never come back again. And so, Luta, what I'm reading from is Luta's GoFundMe page. Luta is trying to raise $5,000. Luta has raised 590 of it. There are about, I presume, 21 days left in his campaign at GoFundMe.com. Luta's Cancer Campaign. Just look for Luta's Cancer Campaign. And help as you can. He's not looking to have anybody knock it all out in one lick. Everybody banding together a very little bit at a time, sharing the word, and hopefully getting him this fighting chance at the Mayo Clinic. Because you see, the for-profit health insurance industry doesn't give a damn about anything but profits. That's why they're a for-profit health insurance industry. And Luda's in Florida, and it's a long way to Rochester, Minnesota. So if you got a buck, if you got five, 10, whatever, go over to GoFundMe.com and help out with Luda's cancer destruction. GoFundMe.com, Luda's cancer campaign. I think if you type in Luta, L-U-T-A, apostrophe S, you'll probably be well on the way to finding the site. Well, maybe it's not even it may not even be the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Apparently, there's a branch of the Mayo in Florida. Luda says, I'm desperate to get to the Mayo Clinic down here, and maybe I can finally get rid of this cancer for good. It would mean the world to me if you could ask people tonight to help with my GoFundMe page. And he said, I know it interferes with your fundraising, so I understand if you can't. No, we can. We absolutely can, Luda. Because this is, after all, a family, a community. Luda said, after all, I did let you talk me into voting for Hillary, LOL. In Florida, no less. So go to GoFundMe.com and pitch in. And perhaps Luda will send me a note telling me how long the campaign has to go, so we'll have some idea of what kind of chance he has at hitting his $5,000 goal. I can't imagine what it would be like to fight cancer, have it beat it, have it come back, fight it, have it come back, fight it, have it come back. There's a lot to be said for the guts and courage involved to just keep fighting, especially here in the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. You know, where we let capitalism profit on the agony and the illness of others. You get the idea. So, yeah, GoFundMe.com, Luta's Cancer Campaign. It's LUTAS hyphen cancer hyphen campaign. I think it'll pop if you go to GoFundMe.com. And hopefully Luda will let us know if this does any good, and I hope it does. Because that's the way communities are supposed to work. All right. Hoghead in the chat room says, yeah, fighting cancer's a bitch, Bob, and I've been fighting one of the easiest ones. Hoghead, I appreciate the fact that you say it's one of the, but is there really any such thing as an easy cancer? Because, you know, cancer. Note coming from Steve in New York. Luda's fight. Does anyone need any more proof that it's us working class people who are the strength and backbone of this or any country? I think you're right, Steve. That's pretty obvious. And the thing is, the backbone of some countries are more astutely supported than in others, notably this one. Because you see, in the United States, the purpose of the working class is to eat and excrete and die. Emphasis, and somewhere along the way, support the like, you know, carried the Donald Trumps and the Bushes and the rest of the revolting billionaire class, you know, on our backs. Yeah. So we have several examples of titanic intellect to celebrate this evening. Oh, one more helpful note from Luda. Luda just emailed and said you can also find the a link to the GoFundMe on Facebook if you just friend Luda Swift Eagle there. Okay, and Luda says, thanks for the help, Bob. I appreciate it, and it's the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. I suspected. But I didn't know. You know, I think of Mayo Clinic, I think of Rochester, Minnesota. Because I guess I'm funny that way. But they've got a branch campus in Florida. Because, you know, what doctor wants to spend all of his time in, I mean, Minnesota's cool and everything, but if you could go down and do some doctoring, say, you know, like January, February in Jacksonville, right. Okay. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Hoghead remembers that Bart Cop was going to the one in Arizona. I didn't know they had that many branches. Anyway, we celebrate titanic intellect on Tuesdays. And God help us. Well, not really. We got a lot to work with this evening. And last night, in my conversation with Tracy, we had a brief discussion, and I harshed her mellow in a bad way, and I'm guilty of that, by bringing up Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren. And, of course, she's a diehard supporter of Donald Trump, and she works on the TV network that is controlled and possibly going down in flames, founded by the Beckerhead. And where the Beckerhead is disgusted with Trump, he's providing balance on his network. No, not by offering a slot to a progressive or anything like that, but by letting Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren, have her own show at the tender age of 24 when she has all the worldly experience of a pimento cheese sandwich. Possibly less. Yeah, I know. The hoghead in the chat room says, oh, to be 24 and know everything again. I know. It makes you downright wistful and misty-eyed, but Hoghead, I'll bet even when you were 24 and knew everything, I'll bet it wasn't all a bunch of aggrieved white privilege nonsense. No. So anyway, Tommy Lauren, over on her program, because we're celebrating titanic intellect here, and by God, if she's not an aggrieved white privilege 24-year-old titanic intellect, I don't know who is. She was accused of not giving time to the Never Trumpers on her program. So necessarily, she found a guy named Ben Howe from over to the red state to stick up for Republicans who don't want to vote for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. The clip is about 8 minutes long. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do 8 minutes. I've done the 8 minutes. I've actually done the 8 minutes twice. And it's, oh, Jesus. No. But there's this moment that happens inside the 8 minutes. And I've got it queued up. We can cross our fingers and hope that it's still queued up because computers. Because production staff of, you know, one during the live portion of the program. Agnes Viking Warrior Princess gets everything set up back here. She's been, because I spend so much time running people to and from work and doctor's appointments and dentists. And Agnes has been running Dr. Bill, and she gets his stuff uploaded to Podbean. And let me mention that real quick. If you would like to listen to Dr. Bill at your convenience and receive for free master's degree level analysis and thought-provoking content, you can not only can you get Dr. Bill via the White Rose Society feed, which is my preference, but we also put it up over at podbean.com. Virtual Center for the Study of the Constitution and Civic Responsibility. I know, it's a mouthful, but still. And Dr. Bill O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N, no apostrophes, no hyphens, no accent grave over the E, just O-B-R-I-E-N. Dr. Bill O'Brien is available at podbean.com for your listening convenience. You can download the app onto your phone, your mobile device, your tablet. You can listen on your computer. Right. So that's there for you. And, of course, were Tommy Lauren, Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, ever to actually be exposed to real historical information courtesy of Dr. Bill O'Brien, she would probably melt like a bucket of water thrown on the Wicked Witch of the West. You get the idea. Oh, my beautiful evil. Yes. What a world. And you know, maybe all that porcelain whiteness is just a good makeup job over all the green. You can never tell. But anyway, so Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren, had this conversation with die-hard, never-Trumper, conservative family values Republican Ben Howe. Ben Howe? Ben why? And like I said, there's this moment where she asked the question about all those new voters who came out to vote for Trump. You know, aren't you never-Trumpers just, you know, spitting on them? Get the hockey puck. Well, this isn't so much a hockey puck moment, really. This is just Titanic intellect on display. But there's something interesting that happens in this clip. See if you can find it. See if you can spot it.
You know what Hillary is. And you said sure. That she could just be a continuation of the status quo. But what about the millions of Americans out there, the millions of Republicans out there that came out of the woodwork and chose Donald Trump as our nominee? Is the Never Trump movement in any way kind of a spit in the face to those folks that really do believe he's our candidate of choice and that voted for him to be so?
Breathe, Tommy.
It tells me that, sorry, somebody came to my ear just then. But
really?
To me, when it comes to the millions.
Really? Time out. These kinky-ass Republicans, oh my God, they did?
Is somebody whose foreign policy I necessarily embrace, but I do think that she represents, at worst at this point, a status quo as opposed to
what happened in your
taking
ear?
Down decades-long precedent in terms of our foreign policy, which I think Donald Trump would do.
What bothers me about this argument is that everyone likes to speculate on the instability of Donald Trump. They like to look and say, you know, we just really don't trust him. We don't really like his tweets. Sure. We don't like what he says off the cuff. And everyone's...
No, Tommy. No one's speculating on the instability of Donald Trump. Because there's no speculation left to be had on the instability of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is unstable. I mean... He's like one of those elements that you can only find in a super collider that is so unstable it only lasts a period of time that clocks with 900 decimal points to the right of the decimal, 900 places to the right of the decimal point can measure. That unstable. And you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Wait a minute. I think this deserves a rolling cowbell. We'll have to try to get one of these in every evening. Labor man pointing out, Scrump is a jagoff, Bob. And that he is. So nobody's speculating on the instability of Donald Trump anymore. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how much. Right? So, but, you know, she's only 24.
Speculating of how risky Donald Trump is going to be. And he might be a risk. He very well may be. I've said that many times, but we know what Hillary is. And you said that she could just be a continuation of the status quo. But what about the millions of Americans out there, the millions of Republicans out there that came out?
Wait, she says we know what Hillary is, and then she doesn't tell us. Thank God I'm around. The devil! And all the Steiniacs. Said amen. Right? Okay, gonna have to manually turn down the reverb for a second. Are we back? Yep, nope. Well, that's what happens when you work with ancient equipment. Sometimes you turn the reverb on and it won't turn off. But I just can't quite stand to do the entire program that way. Off? Off. Okay, good. Computers. Working. Steve with a note says, speculations of Donald Trump are kind of like speculations of whether smoking causes cancer. Wake up, sheeple! Or no, that is speculation. Never mind. Back to Tommy Lauren.
Out of the woodwork and chose Donald Trump as our nominee. Is the Never Trump movement in any way kind of a spit in the face to those folks that really do believe he's our candidate of choice and that voted for him to be so?
You know, she missed out on a promising career as an auctioneer. I'm just saying. Not saying, just saying.
It tells me that, somebody came in my ear just...
Somebody came in his ear. And I got video here, and I'm watching it. So apparently it was like an incubus or a succubus or something, because you can't see them when they're coming into his ear. You, Bob, you prurient thing, you. But anyway, he's going to make a point here, and we should probably let him.
But it to me, when it comes to the millions of people who came out to vote for the first time, a lot of those people, as far as I can tell, are not folks that I'm comfortable being in the Republican Party.
Oh, wait a minute. What? Is he saying that the Republican Party's not as big as maybe the voting numbers indicate that it is? That all those people who came out and voted in such monumental numbers to make Donald Trump the nominee aren't necessarily Republicans? Who might those be?
So, we had the most primary voters for any candidate in primary history, the most votes ever in a primary for Donald Trump.
And yet that wasn't rigged. But anyway.
So much of what I've interacted with, what I've seen, and I'm not speaking as somebody who's just been on Twitter here. I've gone and I've talked to people in public. I've been working on a documentary where we've actually gone out and spoken to people at the rallies. And I'm really concerned not only with the way Donald Trump has channeled what used to be conservative policies to appeal to this alt-right group, but I'm concerned that that's going to be the mainstay of conservatism in the years to come, especially if he wins. If he...
Ah, point, Ben Howe. I hate to give them on, especially on Titanic Tuesday. But it's not that the so-called alt-right is going to be the face of the Republican Party moving into the future. The so-called alt-right has been the Republican Party, just not its face, because, you know, the good, polite, decent, you know, knows which fork to use with the shrimp versus the oyster Republicans. And then there's the that with the little crackers and the crab claws and the lobster. And they know, I mean, clueless I am. But, you know, that was the public face. You know, sometimes political parties have public have public faces and private faces. And the public face of the Republican Party has been the Bushes, okay, and the Romneys, and the Pete Petersons, and the Koch brothers, you know, who all know how to tie a bow tie and what kind of clothes to wear to whether you're having an afternoon soiree at the yacht club or a formal event at the Waldorf Astoria. Later on that evening, perhaps around 7:38-ish, I mean, ish, you know. That's been the public face of the Republican Party. But the fact of the matter is, the reality of the Republican Party for a very long time has been these people that we've decided to call the alt-right. And the alt-right is just a name. It's just a thing. It's like the word pivot. I'm sick to death of the word pivot. I watching the last pageant, I was quite certain that if the word pivot were used one more time, a goddamn duck was going to drop from the ceiling, or from the fly space there, whatever. And somebody was going to bring either Hillary or Trump a $100 bill. With inflation from the 1950s, it's probably about, you know, $10,000 or whatevs. But alt-right is a way of not having to say John Birch Society. Alt-right is a way of not having to say Klansmen. Alt-right is a way of not having to say white nationalists, skinheads, Aryan Nation, aggrieved white privilege princesses. And that's all that's left of the Republican Party. I can't imagine that there is a statistically relevant number of old Eisenhower Republicans. It's almost impossible. Now, there's a ton of leftover moldering Reagan Democrats, you know, the people who were nominally Democrats until those people started being Democrats too, and then at the first opportunity, namely Ronald Wilson Reagan, gave them an excuse, you know, and you know, with the dog whistle of giving speeches in Neshoba County, Philadelphia, Mississippi, you know, heart of murder and Klan activity, that kind of thing, talking in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the little town with scum in the middle, not far from the headquarters of the Klan, these kinds of things. That's the older generation now. Of the Republican Party. That's the people who go out and vote regardless. Because, see, I'm 53 years old, and I was 17 when Reagan was running for office. So the 30-year-old Reagan Democrats are 66 now, from 1980. The 40-year-old Reagan Democrats are 76 now. The 50-year-old Reagan Democrats are 86 now. Which kind of means that the Nixon Republicans. Well, I mean, who's left? Pat Buchanan. And that kind of means that the Republicans that, you know, the guy who was the president of your local community bank and was a rock-ribbed conservative Republican who could squeeze a penny so hard you could hear Lincoln screaming from the grave, that guy that you kind of wanted to be your bank president, he's dead. And he's been dead for a long time. And he's pretty much dead to the Republican Party, too. The ideas that motivated him about the country are dead to the Republican Party. And yes, it all begins to change in 1980. That's the rise of Jerry Falwell. That's when the Republican Party becomes a haven for extremist evangelical bigots. And so to say that the alt-right is the face of the Republican Party going forward, as Ben Howe does, yeah, it probably is. But it's been the face of the Republican Party for a long time, these goddamn Klansmen. And Birchers. I mean, there's a reason we've got that string, you know? Birchers, birthers, ninthers, tenthers, deathers, booger eaters, healthers. Republicans. That's who they are. And they only win in places where there are either high concentrations of the same sort of mindset or they've managed to gerrymander and redistrict away and otherwise dilute the ability of anyone who could challenge them to, you know, challenge them. I this smells probably uncomfortably like a rant, but here with 10 days before the election, oh Lord, nothing but trouble. Because we are awash in this bullshit hand-wringing, especially from the for-profit media, who are still trying to figure out how in God's name Donald Trump became the nominee of the Republican Party. And for me, and it's because for-profit media, there's not that much analysis to it. Donald Trump became the nominee and the face of the Republican Party for the same reason that when you're exposed to syphilis or when you're exposed to gonorrhea, it eventually starts hurting when you pee. One is the natural consequence of the other. Donald Trump didn't, I mean, he has legitimized some of it. He has made it possible for it to be the public face and for the Bushes to have to sort of disappear and the Romneys to just sort of fade. But they were there all along because that's all that's left. In the chat room, Jug of Punch says, oh, that's easy peasy. He epitomizes the id. And that's all that's left of the Republican Party is id. Aggrieved white males. Terrified that the women's and the brown people and the Mexicans and the homosexuals are gonna get 'em. The dilution of power. Yeah, but let's go back. Let's go back to these for a minute. Yeah, we got too much Titanic intellect to study tonight.
Loses I think it's going to be a struggle, and we're going to have to fight elements that are within our party now that helped raise him up. And I think that if I'm spitting them in the face, I'm happy to. I want to spit in
their
face.
But then here's the way I see it. Those folks that you're talking about, this alt-right movement, I think that that's fringe at best. I don't think
that's why you're 24 with a television program, Tommy. You think that's fringe at best. Let's see, 16. Okay, that's 2000. 1992. You were born the year that Bill Clinton was elected president. I guess you're just lucky that Hillary was too busy to come over and make your mommy have a partial birth abortion so she could snack on your tender little bones. You know, when the fetuses are young like that, you can just chew right through the bones, kind of like canned sardines. Tasty. You don't have enough experience to understand even the 12 years that went before your birth. They're not fringe, this so-called alt-right. They are the mainstream of Republican Party thinking. That is why, for instance, Republican National Committee Chair Rince Priebus, which is a great way, of course, to keep it from hurting when you pee, that's why he won't denounce any of them. All these cries for denounce this Nazi, denounce that Klansman. You start denouncing these people, you're fresh out of party. But here's the thing. They're not going away. And they're going to continue to hold significant amounts of power within the structure of our system. And, okay, granted, so I wasn't around in the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, but I have made it sort of my business to study it some. I mean, I don't know it like Dr. Bill knows it or like Professor Keith Lilly knows it. No. But I know this. There was a time when the Congress was so hamstrung by the South, by representatives and senators from places like South Carolina and Alabama, Mississippi and Louisiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, North Carolina, Virginia. That it was impossible to get anything done on the most critical issues of the day, one of which was the question of slavery, which the framers of the Constitution had desperately and somewhat inartfully avoided. The pro-slavery forces became so powerful that they were able to pass an internal rule inside the Congress that said that it was, for all intents and purposes, illegal for any member of that body. I mean, you want to talk about your free speech. It was illegal for any member of that body to even bring up the issue of abolition. I believe John Quincy Adams's House of Representatives resolution still exists. Not that it was ever considered. And we're in that same position today. We're not gonna line up in some form of Napoleonic warfare that's informed by... Oh, wait a minute. So it won't be Napoleonic, but... Yeah, never mind. Informed by the fact that the military structure all had a common experience in an illegal war in Mexico But wait a minute. Our entire military structure now has a common experience in illegal war in Iraq. And just as every officer in both the American and the Confederate military command structure saw everything as either the Battle of Buena Vista or the Battle of the storming of Chapultepec, so too we've got a military structure now that sees everything in light of what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, that's a little bit scary. I wish that hadn't occurred to me. But they're not going anywhere. And the Republican Party is not dead. Please stop saying that. Because it's not real. They're not even going to be in disarray. They're going to have their House majority, which is what they want. They may yet have a Senate majority, which will send them off in search of hand lotion and Kleenex. So, bless your heart, Tommy. You don't know shit. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee notes, hell no, they're not fringe. They've been there all along. Has she not listened to Darth Cheney and Karl Rove, to name a few? Hell, she's never even listened to... I don't know, maybe she's never even listened to Flush Flimball. Or maybe Mama was listening to Flush Flimball, putting the little headphones from her Sony cassette tape Walkman radio right there on her tummy while Tommy was gesticulating in the precious sacred womb. Okay, let wrap it up.
Majority of Donald Trump's supporters, and to advance that it is almost as bad as what Hillary did in calling us deplorables. Because I've had a very different experience when I've been out talking to people, and unlikely people as well. Many times people will come up to me and they'll say, you know what, hey, I'm a deplorable too. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I have kids that go to school, I have my sons and daughters being deployed overseas.
Yes, stupid, that doesn't mean you're a deplorable, and the woman who said it to you, if in fact she was real, probably every bit as real as that aggrieved white woman at the Alabama-USC game she talked about. Of course, we understand that's not what the deplorable comment meant. The deplorables, about half of Trump's supporters, Hillary Clinton said, are deplorable. They belong, and then they go in the basket of deplorables, which still remains one of the quirkiest and most inelegant insults ever levied in either a political or social setting. The Klansmen are deplorable. The skinheads are deplorable. The white nationalists, the Aryan nations, the Stormfronters, they're deplorable. And they're all solidly pro-Trump. And so, Tommy, if you can't say that the Klansmen, and you'll notice she hasn't. She hasn't said that there's anything wrong with those people. Because they're not just Trump's voters. Oh no, sunshine. They're her viewers. Yes, oh yes. Steve in New York says, oh, bless her little pea-picking heart, pats her on the head. Another member of the fraternity of Steve says, subject line, dumb blondes, try this one. Tommy Lauren, stop her the mouth, view best from behind, works for me and a great advertisement for misogynistic diversions. Never seen that. I don't know. But the thing is, you can with absolute gender neutral language, you can destroy Tommy Lauren, short of my reference to her as Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016. That's a pageant reference. We could call her Ms. But we could also say that she is the poster person for aggrieved white privilege in 2016. Because stupid knows no gender. Idiocy knows no age. It's just that when you get them in, when you get them in perfect combination, it's just almost glaringly impossible to ignore.
I'm a law enforcement officer. I have family in law enforcement. I have family that works in the coal industry. I have family that are union.
Yeah, dipshit. Nobody ever said people in the coal industry were deplorable, except maybe me once in a while. But that's only because they get a paycheck every couple of weeks for, you know, poisoning their neighbors. But that's not deplorable. That's just capitalism.
Members, and they come up to me and they say, you know what, I am a Trump supporter for those reasons. And you know what, I will be fair. They come up to me and they say, my goodness, I wish he would shut his mouth. And sometimes I agree with them very much. But
only sometimes she wishes he'd shut his mouth. And that's another point. Robert, somewhere up near Morgantown, it points out that these people, the so-called alt-right, can't be fringe when Donald Trump got the most primary votes in Republican Party history. And you'll note that she did, in fact, refer to them coming out of the woodwork. Huh? Yeah. Okay, point taken, Gerald. Gerald says, oh, hell, our show's on the blaze. That's like writing for The Onion and claiming you're a journalist. Well, there's probably more journalism taking place at The Onion, now that you mention it, Gerald, than has happened in the entire existence of the blaze, but we all know that. David in South Carolina, Stan. Subject line, the same? I keep getting told that the Democrats and Republicans are the same and there's no difference between them. I wonder why corporations such as insurance companies overwhelmingly support Republican candidates. They must see some sort of difference for them. But then I realized that I had my brain washed by nasty old crooked killer Hillary. Well, just remember, there's nothing new in that, David. The same people who are saying the Republicans and Democrats are the same or there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. Well, you know, Ralph Nader was saying that in 2000, and we learned to our horror how wrong he was. And, of course, he took that line from, well, I think George Wallace, who said there's not a dime's worth of difference between Republicans and Democrats back in 1968, when he was going to send a message to Washington. There's just history. It can be such a pain in the ass. Oh, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Says, is it me or does that youngin' need to be grabbed by the pussy to wake her the fuck up? Let's not grab it. That doesn't have handles. Let's not grab. No. Really, Carol, I think it's more of a Jed Clampett thing. You know, he always said of Jethro, one of these days, I got to have a long talk with that boy. And he never said that about Ellie Mae. I don't know if he ever said anything about Jethreen. You know, that was Jethro's sister. But in the modern, modern gender, gender-neutral world, I think we could say, I think maybe Jed, and of course Buddy Ebsen was a hardcore right-winger, but some things transcend politics. One of these days, somebody needs to have a long talk with that girl. And you know what? Because I am a kind and generous and solicitous host, I'm going to do something that you're going to appreciate now. I'm not going to play any more of Tommy Lauren. Nope. Steve, by the way, in New York said, coming into his ear. Did he buy that sweater at Salvation Army? Did the demon come from his demon-infested sweater? Can happen. I mean, just ask former liquor supply officer Marion Pat Robertson. Because, right, thrift store sweaters can have demons in them. Oh, stupid, it hurts so bad. Tell you what, instead of running to the break at the top of the hour, let's check in real quick over on the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, or, you know, hang up. But we do. We got so much. Let's see, what else? Speaking of the so-called alt-right, here's another one of those guys who's out on the Republican fringe who's actually a part of the Republican mainstream. His name is Matt Forney. And he describes himself as an alt-right radio host. Now, he's taken to... He likes the Twitter machine, Matt Forney does, because as we learned last night, Twitter does next to nothing to try to quell hate speech. And he thought it was really, really funny when a writer for Cosmopolitan by the name of Laura Beck wrote, "On one hand, the thought of being touched by my husband, a man, after spending day upon never-ending day listening to Donald Trump's sexually assaultive language is not a pleasant one. On the other, we're both so obsessed with the election that our combined anxiety is killing our sex drives." To which, right-wing mainstream Republican professional broadcaster Matt Forney responded, "I fully endorse shit libs not having sex due to Trump. It makes them less likely to breathe." Mm-hmm. And that was such a success that he decided to work the other direction as well. "In my experience, though, the majority of white women are having sex dreams about Trump. Expect a white baby boom after he takes office." Listen, if you have to talk about white women and white babies, you know, you might be a Klansman. Not alt-right, but a fucking Klansman. You might be a Stormfronter. You might be Aryan Nations. Or a Nazi. And I guess the latency issues involved with a pasty-faced, doughy, white, alt-right professional broadcaster fantasizing about the women fantasizing about Trump. You know, that's damn, I think Dr. Freud just chewed his cigar right up and swallowed it. Ha! Nice. Nice. Like I said, we're not hurting for material tonight. Oh no. You know, it was about this time last year that we learned about And no, this is not going to wait till prayer meeting Wednesday, because there's I don't think there's a lot of Jesus in it. But another one of those well-funded right-wing broadcasters who doesn't have to sit there and talk about fundraising every night, because he's a right-wing broadcaster and they just write the check, you know, his overlords, his masters. Rick Wiles over at Trunews, Trunews, T-R-U-N-E-W-S, Trunews, which I think has nothing to do with sinews. Ah, it's a good point. Steve in China says, publications akin to The Onion are journalism in this century. Elliptical parody, if you will. Parody so parodical that it loops back on itself. No, that wouldn't be elliptical. That would be helical, wouldn't it? I don't know. I'm just playing with words now. No, so over there at Trunews, end times expert Rick Wiles, who about this time last year was telling us about the poor golden retriever that has to live in his house named Gator, that he takes out walking in the neighborhood so Gator can bark at the demon-infested blow-up spiders. It made an impression on me. That's why I haven't forgotten it. I mean, it's a full-on mental image of a neighborhood full of $600,000 houses somewhere in Northern Virginia that's got relatively normal $600,000 house owning people in it, and they've got enough disposable income to go to Target or maybe Costco. Welcome to Costco. I love you. And buy those big old blow up yard decorations that come with their own little blower. Just leave that alone, will you? And so you wind up with a big, creepy-looking, blow-up plastic spider made by some poor kid who's 12 years old chained to a table in China. But Gator the Golden Retriever knew it had demons in it, because and Rick Wiles knew that because Gator the Golden Retriever barked at it. Under that rubric, the new kitten here, named Nyx, solid black. It must be pretty convinced that there's a demon inside the bedspread on the bed that Agnes Viking Warrior Princess and I share. Because, you know, she's every bit of a three-month-old kitten. And she'll jump up on the bed and then go absolutely out of her mind, bouncing around and just randomly attacking molecules that only she can see on the cover. I mean, pounce and pivot, quack, and leap and pounce and pause and pounce again. And it's adorable. And then she'll do something really stupid and wind up, you know, launching herself off the bed and get up, and as George Carlin noted once, make a complete fool of herself and then stand up and look at you. Oh, I meant to do that. Demons. Yep, demons. So anyway, that Rick Wiles, from whom I have a clip. But let's run over to the stress line. No, let's don't, because the person on the stress line hung up again. That Rick Wiles. And courtesy of our friends over at rightwingwatch.org, who must suffer mightily recording and cutting and listening to, because you have to listen to all the crap to hear the really crazy crap, because it's all crap. It's just, and most of it's really nuts. But when you want to drill down into just the core looniness of it. And so Rick Wiles knows what, you know, kind of like what Misaggrieved White Privilege 2016 said, yeah, but we know, we're speculating about Trump, but we know what Hillary is. We know what Hillary will do. And so does Rick Wiles, and you know, presumably, too, also Gator.
Doug, I've heard stories that the Chinese Christians meeting in underground meetings sing hymns to the Lord silently by moving their lips. No words come out.
To a certain extent, radio is, as the phrase saying goes, theater of the mind. You know, Vince Scully just retired as the longtime broadcaster of the Dodgers. And, of course, you know, Harry Carey at the Cubs. Joe Nuxall with the Reds. Red Barber with the Brooklyn Dodgers. On and on. You know, the really, really great old radio play-by-play guys. And the true test of them was the rain delay. And the great ones would just start telling stories as the rain fell. And the great ones could make images real for you. Then there's Rick Wiles, who creates theater of the mind for people who listen to him and, you know, have no mind by telling them that he's heard of Chinese Christians who meet in underground meetings. That is a non-chromatic palette, to say the very least. And they sing by moving their lips and making no sound. On the other hand, the ventriloquist dummies across the room are creating quite the cacophony. Dear God. Okay, back to the lip-syncing Chinese Christians.
Because if they're heard, they'll go to prison.
Right.
And so the church just moves their lips to sing the hymns.
Wow.
Wow. And the sidekick never bothers to say, you know, Rick, buddy, that's not really singing. That's not singing. That's lip moving. But it ain't singing. No. It's because... Well, we're losing the thread because it's about the persecution. Kind of hard to tell if it has any kind of a beat worth dancing to, though. So we're going to have to give that a 1.5.
Just being caught in the act of singing a hymn will send you to prison.
As Carol Baker points out, maybe there's Simon and Garfunkel fans singing "The Sound of Silence," Rick.
Oh, yeah.
I live for this stuff. It's a variation on the theme expressed in Donald Fagen's The Nightfly. I wait all night for calls like these. Only it's not a call, it's a clip. Meanwhile, audio engineer wannabe Brother Deacon Asa says, Rick Wiles is a smidgen undermodulated. He should bump up the gain there a wee bit. Yeah, that might not be Rick Wiles. That might be me. But the thing is, either he broadcasts real hot or the recordings they take are real hot. I'm guessing because it's SoundCloud, that's how they broadcast, because you know, they're probably too cheap to pay, you know, an engineer. I'm pretty sure Rick does. I don't know. Maybe Rick is a production staff of one, too. I mean, I watch my little meters, and I try to make sure that they don't go into the red. A little bit into the orange now and then, but never the red. But no, do continue, Rick.
That's communism. That's what communism looks like. That's what's coming to America. under Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama was just the warm-up act. He was the first full-blown communist to be put in the White House. He got the country softened up for the final act. The final act is Hillary Clinton. She's an old communist from her early days, trained and mentored by Saul Alinsky.
I knew it. Bingo. I had Saul Alinsky. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're all going to be commies when Hillary Clinton, who spends a shocking amount of time courting capitalists on Wall Street for a commie, we're all going to have to be commies when she becomes president. And I always try to find the silver lining in things. And I think I've got it here, because anybody who's ever walked into a Church of Christ Sunday service or Wednesday or any, you know, where they can't even use so much as a goddamn kazoo to accompany their hymn singing, and it's all a cappella. Yeah. Making the Church of Christ just sort of mouth the words of their hymns wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. And let's not pretend that the addition of musical instruments improperly played and accompanied by off-key Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterians is necessarily a good thing either. Folks that have to live next door to these gospel sharps might get a decent little bit of sleep on a Sunday morning for a change. But anyway, commies. Saul Alinsky.
Doc, I've heard stories that the Chinese final act, the final act is Hillary Clinton, is an old communist from her early days, trained and mentored by Saul Alinsky, a communist organizer who wrote the book Rules for Radicals, dedicated to Lucifer.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton, as a college student, wrote her...
You notice that? They got he and the sidekick got dedicated to Lucifer at the same time. Because that's the part they... Oh, my God, it's dedicated to Lucifer. And as Carol points out, they sucked pretty bad at predicting all the things that the secret Kenyan Muslim... You slurper was going to do. I added the you slurper part. It's a trademark thing. It's almost like they're channeling Harold Camping. He could never get the date of the crapture right either. And you know, died wrong. All right. Brother Deacon Gerald says he keeps using that. Yes, Barack Obama is a full-blown communist for the state. Keeps using that word. I don't think it means what he thinks it means. Communist, that is. Dedicated to Lucifer.
Her thesis on the book. But guess what? The book had not even been published when she wrote her thesis. She had a manuscript.
Or maybe she knew what was in it because she's... The devil! We've got to consider all the possibilities.
Given to her directly by Saul Alinsky.
I didn't realize she had it before it was published.
Yes.
Wow.
She's an old communist from way back. She's waited decades for this day. If the American people put her in the White House, we are going into full-blown communism. And the first...
As opposed to half-blown communism, and nobody wants that. You know, if we had a little more time, we'd have some dramatic, grim, minor key Russian music going on under this. Let's see. just because I love production. Let's see if we can make it work this way. Working. And let's see, we're going to have to back up a little bit. Nah, let's not back up. Let's just go.
That happens. Is the shutdown of all dissent, and then the crackdown on the churches. I promise you, that's what's coming. I can't tell you we're going to be here. I can't tell you that. I mean, you can say, well, what are you going to do? Well, you can't do anything when they shut you down. You understand that? What are you going to do when they shut you down? That's it. I'm not saying I would choose to go away. I'm telling you, they will shut all of us down. They're not going to allow this uprising to continue. This is as close as they've come to being taken down. This collusion that we see in the WikiLeaks disclosures, of politicians and banks and the media and Hollywood, all of them working together, folks, this is the invisible Communist Party in America. They're being exposed. The Communist Party is being exposed. They have moles in every sector of our society. It is the Communist Party.
Every sector? Every sector? Maybe even at Trunnoos? Dear God. You know, I hate having to do these useless fucks work for them. I mean, they got a staff. You mean to tell me they can't pull up the Soviet national anthem and have it running under when it would have been so much more powerful? Dumb bastards. It's 22 past the hour. By the way, I haven't gotten any emails that anybody's helping out Luda, and also haven't gotten any nothing happening for fundraising here either. Carol Baker, meanwhile, notes all this coming in my ear and half blown shit makes me need a smoke. Well, I know, and you know, maybe a back rub or something. Leave the money on the nightstand, right?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I think it's, unless I'm mistaken, it's Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Yo, Bob, what's up, man?
What's happening, man?
I need you to explain to me what this Chinese lip syncing stuff is.
Well, it's not lip syncing, because to lip sync, you'd have to have something to lip... No, it has to be totally silent. So
you mean like the kung fu movies? Like where? It's
wait! Stop! 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 Yeah, like the kung fu movies, Todd. Where their lips are moving and there's no dialogue, or maybe like, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Boredom, where her lips move for 15 minutes and then she says, "I will write your name."
So he's just making shit up out of.
Yes.
I didn't get crude yet.
I like the artful and technical way you use the word yet there, Todd.
Well, it was.
You're a working professional.
Well, I'm not working. I'm not professional, but I'm doing something. But you know, I want to go back to this thing. I brought this meme up with you a couple of times, only because I've always been a patron of Happy Hour, right? No matter where I am, and I like Irish bars. And for some reason, you know, you meet folks, period, at happy hour. You meet white power folks, right? You see them. They got the white belts on, the boots, the jeans, the suspenders. And they're in public, and you can talk with them because, you know, they're not going to do anything where everybody can see them. But why are they so scared? They're so scared of America looking different. And it's not just America now. I guess it's Europe. But I'm not going to get on a tangent. I'm just going to focus on this area. And, I mean, is it these guys are so angry that they're not having, you know, nice time with their women? Or are the women, is the fecundity impaired by whatever they do at night? I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the problem
is. Or maybe it's a giant hustle where they have to keep their credulous and atne ute aitbre, if you one what I in me, audiences in a state of perpetual dudgeon so that they can... Because remember, there's an operative phrase here that we won't hear till tomorrow, and it's all tax-free. That's how it works. Are you kidding? These are some of the slimiest, horniest, nastiest... I mean, they're evangelical Christians, okay?
You're right. That's what I don't get. I mean, I know how to...
I mean, we're talking about nostril fuckers here, okay? They're happily just... I mean, they're like Richard Pryor's monkey.
Well, okay. I know what that is. Right. Yeah. Well, that's
But they've got it. They've got it. No, this is... you know, tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, black people don't walk around worried about, well, damn, we've got to have more babies because, you know, the Indians are taking us over, or, you know, the Irish, or, you know, the Italians or whatever. You know, who worries about stuff like that? I mean, why are you wasting your time worrying about stuff like that?
Because whiteness. Because somebody, they've been told ever since 1865 that it was over for white people, Todd. You know, because y'all was getting all free and stuff.
Yeah, what a terrible thing. Oh, and your three-fifths with Jeff, I heard that yesterday. Happy anniversary. That was a hell of an iron. Three-fifths as tall as the Washington Monument.
Thank you. I'm just gratified to, yeah.
When you saw that, you were like, oh, my God.
Oh, score!
Right. Yeah, it had to be. That is just, well, yeah, that was big irony there. That was, yeah, that's pretty funny. Oh, my God, this thing, we have to redo. Because things are not working. And I see other people are, you know, this has become a popular meme now. Remember we were talking a couple of weeks ago about, oh, why are people going up to works with the Supreme Court? Because this is not getting us anywhere. And now it's become, everybody's talking about this now. You know, and see, that's what I don't get. I really see this much like when integration started. Not that I was around, but, you know, in the history books, you know, when folks right down here where I am, they took their kids out of the public schools and made these private Christian schools so that their kids didn't have to go to school with black people. So, they're, you know, these folks have been willing to sink the country because they didn't like that guy or the party or whatever. You know, they have to keep making up an excuse. I mean, maybe I'm making this up. Maybe it's just the way I see it. What's your take on that?
No. I think, see, it's kind of like Einstein's unified field theory. You know, that he was working on until the very end of his life. You know, something that'll just tie everything all together. And I think right wingery, there are people out there who say that it all comes down to cheap labor conservatism. I think maybe that was true for, you know, the Eisenhower through Gerald Ford Republicans. I think now, Todd, it's a unified field theory of everything comes down to race. I mean, pick one. Raise an issue that matters to right-wingers and see if it even takes you 7 degrees before you either get to Kevin Bacon or race. Make sense?
That absolutely. That's why I asked you, because it seems like when they interview folks, well, why are you supporting the fascist guy, even though reporters refuse to say the fascist guy? Why? And I'm not saying his name, because that's his whole thing, it's his brand, and I'm not giving him any damn money. Fuck him. So, you know, why are you supporting the fascist guy? And they'll say, well, I work every day, and I'm just tired of people got their hand out. And, you know, after about four or five sentences, it's pretty clear what they mean, right? And it's like they're devoid of history. They don't even, you know, they're devoid of a sense of history. They don't understand how we got here. You know, there's a way that we got here.
Well, let me share something with you, Todd. I got a note before the program from our buddy Mike out in Cascadia. And he's been spending some time out Wyoming way. And he said, I read the Casper Star Tribune since I've spent quite a bit of time in Wyoming the last few years. Or I read. My son took a NALS course in Lander, and we've backpacked the last few summers in the Wind River Mountains just south of the Tetons. Gorgeous state full of antelope, remnants of the Oregon Trail, and a lot of Republicans. Once I've been in a place, I get interested in their local issues and politics. I'm kind of the same way. Kind of like last night, talking about reading the news story from my hometown about the woman who was indicted last month for testing positive for pot in February when she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah, right. Like, you're going to be outside, and it's February, and, you know, right. I get it. It's terrible. And we know alcohol is a poison.
Right. So, but it's a little like that. So Mike says, today there was an article in that paper about Trump leading Clinton 58% to 20% in Wyoming, and carpetbagging Liz Cheney leading her Democratic challenger 53% to 37%. And then there was a screenshot of a Wyoming state representative's newspaper summary. And this is, I mean, this is what Titanic Tuesday is for. Now, Cat's name is Lars Loane. And he's running for a seat in the House 12th District in Wyoming. The dateline is Cheyenne. And Loane's been in office since he was appointed in August. And Lars Loane has him...
Lars, like Norwegian type? Like,
yeah, L-A-R-S, Loane, L-O-N-E, like Ranger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Reading from the newspaper article, Lars Loane said he wants to bring fresh ideas to the legislature. And one can only wonder, as a Republican, what kind of fresh ideas he has. None. And looks forward to the opportunity to serve. Loane is against... Here's one of those fresh ideas, Todd. Loane is against Medicaid expansion, instead favoring a system of free trade and free markets. He also suggested organizations like churches could help with medical care. God, I can't wait until Pastor Whackbottom gets to reach his hand into the open chest cavity of a guy having a triple bypass.
Oh, my God.
And then he says, how did our country survive 200 years without medical insurance? Why isn't everybody dead?
People did die, dummy.
By the way, Brother Deacon Gerald points out, Lars Loane, now that's a fucking porn star name if I ever heard one.
It's suspicious at best.
People did die. One, women, for instance, could have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years knocked off their average lifespan just by virtue of the fact that, you know, death in childbirth.
Yeah. So, we all know the story of right.
I mean, so there's that. But I mean, that's straight out of the bush play. Remember when he said, who
Wait
cares?
Wait a minute, what is fresh about that? That's like going back to before people were washing their hands before surgery. What is that about?
That's going back to before people washed their hands before ripping into whatever it is that the buzzards left. But it's right out of the Bush playbook, Todd, because you remember when they asked George Bush what he thought history would think of his presidency? Who cares what history thinks? We'll all be dead.
Yes.
Well, how do we ever get along without the Medicaid? Why ain't everybody dead? And, of course, he could go and read a copy, if he could find it, because they conveniently disappeared it back in 2004, of Mrs. Cheney's book, Sisters, in which, in one infamous passage, a woman in Wyoming fetishizes a wreath made of the hair of her dead female lover. Just saying, that's what goes on in Mama Cheney's mind. I mean, if you were married to Dick, you'd probably have some lesbian fantasies too. I don't even like the way that worked out. The goddess of irony just dropped one on me. If you were married to Dick, you would never mind.
I'm thinking about
how did the country survive 200 years without medical insurance? Why isn't everybody dead?
Well, they had Dick's heart. What a mess. So I was thinking about the Stein lady, right?
You're going to do that to me.
No, I just want to put things in perspective.
Oh, because you just want me to get the email, don't you?
No, I just want folks to understand.
Wake up, sheeple!
I have nothing against bong hits, and I have nothing against shots, and I have nothing against, getting your head right before you get on an airplane these days. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe, depending on where you are, as long as you don't get in trouble. But you're supposed to, even if you have a low-budget campaign, you are supposed to have a Man Friday or Girl Friday, an assistant, someone who has your itinerary 4 hours forward, every 4 hours forward, even sleep. They tell you when to sleep. Right? Everything is scheduled. Boom, boom, boom. All right, this is your bong hit time. Now you do shots. Now you stop. Because then you got to sober up by this time.
Right? Only two shots, not three.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Two or two. Two bong hits and two shots. That's all you get. Then some coffee. Two. Come on. We got to go. Don't sit in the car and do bong hits and shots and expect with your assistant and expect to get on the right plane. I mean, that's a deal breaker. That is a deal breaker. But, this person.
Ah, Cincinnati, himself. Columbus, it all begins with C.
I just look for the C, honestly. I thought it said that. Oh, we'll just get the other plane. They'll wait for us. What, you want us to be right? Come on, man. You can't do that shit. That is not presidential.
It's not professional either, but,
It's not. It's really not. And I'm just trying to be funny. I don't know if she does bomb hits. She probably does shots. But she looks like a Chablis kind of woman or something. But anyway, these folks, they just imploded. There's no alternative now, folks. Come on, we got to get out. And it looks like it's going to go that way, but I won't be happy. I don't trust the polls.
Well, I mean, you know what we're all going to do on November 9th? We're all going to hopefully just breathe a sigh of relief. Although I've still got some members of the Horn community are going, nope, Trump's going to win. And, you know, being as how we're talking to mostly Democrats here, and Democrats, and as I was reminded in one email earlier, in mid-October 1980, there were a number of national polls that showed Jimmy Carter up by at least 8 points over Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
Eight points.
I remember that. I was 15. Yes, I remember that. And we were happy. We were like, oh, we're going to win. And nope. Because the silent majority, see, they showed up and it's easier for them to vote. And this is exactly what I was going to say. See, it's not over, folks, because remember, you got people like John Houston. I believe he's in Ohio. He might still be there. But they've got the plumbers, you know, the Nixon-era plumbers, the folks out there doing the dirty tricks. People are being wiped off the rolls as we speak. If you intend to vote, there are websites you can go to. Make sure you're still registered. Because if you have a common name, if your name's Dick Smith or, you know, whatever, any kind of common name, or you had an ethnic name, especially Hispanic or a black-sounding name, whatever that means, you better make sure that you're registered, because if you show up, and it's too late. You can litigate all you want, and you'll get a provisional ballot, which does not get counted. Most places, they only get counted if it's a very close election, if then. You know, there's too much at stake. And remember, the work is just beginning. Because when and if Mrs. Clinton wins, we have to ride her like a damn stubborn-ass mule. We have to stay on her. Now, she knows she's under a lot of scrutiny, but she needs our scrutiny also. Because
we're gonna have to work our asses off. But when have we ever not? I don't recall in my adult life a time when, if you wanted to get anything done, you didn't have to bust your ass.
Why do you think our side always is casual? Because we're always working. It's hard. We're always in jeans and T-shirts and you know, flannels and whatnot. You know, they can breeze around in suits all the time. I mean, I have suits too, but damn, you can't do hard work if just like that. We're out there. We're knocking on doors, making sure people can get to the polls. You know, I'm doing some things around here. You know, you'd be surprised. The black underclass here is totally uninvested in the election. There are thousands and thousands of votes that are missed here. They're just
politically, we have to work for everything. I mean, and it's, you know, the civil rights struggle. Dr. King didn't just walk up and say, no, really, the Voting Rights Act. And JFK just said, cool. What was that thing on the mall in August 1963? That was work. That wasn't a play date. The murder and slaughter and death whether it was Ludlow or the Matlon Massacre or the armed march on Logan, or Flint, on and on. Labor didn't just go, oh, FDR, could we please have the National Labor Relations Act? Kill.
No, you're right.
Roe v. Wade required a lot of death and a lot of activism. Hell, just getting Griswold versus Connecticut.
I'm not familiar. What was that ruling about?
Just making it legal to have birth control.
Holy cow.
Which was where we first got the right to privacy enunciated. Not Roe v. Wade.
That must have been back in the 50s.
Yeah. Well, there had to be a lot of misery before that finally went forward. So, you know, there's never been a president elected who just said, oh, progressive wonderland. You know, Andy calling in last Friday night was right. You know, FDR was pushed to the left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lincoln was influenced. You know, I got a note from Todd up in Maryland earlier today, who said, Hillary's going to break my progressive brothers and sisters' hearts with her pivot to the right just to achieve consensus. With her, everything we fought for is on the table. It's always on the table. It wouldn't be on the table with Trump? No, hell, it'd be on the menu.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other ballgame. But yeah, so, right, so we win the election, and you know, we have to. We really, really, really have to take back the House and the Senate. This is really important. It's very, I mean, it's so important. We dropped the ball in Obama's midterm. We dropped the ball. We didn't show up. Enough of us did not show up. And you know, that I was listening. I caught Dr. O'Brien's show live today. And it was so funny because when he started his lecture and then he described what he was talking about, I was like, well, that's the Tea Party. You know, they basically got some minions and they hired folks and, you know, they sent people to Washington and like, you are going to vote this way. And I thought about Boehner. And then, you know, three quarters of the way through, he, you know, like he always does, he loops everything together like a loom, you know, weaving cloth. And then he says, Tea Party. I was like, damn, that's it. You know, so this is what we have to do. We really have to tie these edges together. And, you know, stay away from the kung fu fighting. Remember that song? Everybody was kung fu.
No, I won't sing. I won't sing. I won't sing. Them fists was fast as lightning. I mean, it was a little bit frightening. Help me. Oh, God.
That was a great song.
Funky Chinaman from Funky Chinatown. Oh!
Funky Chinatown. Oh, man. But see, that's when everybody was watching the Kung Fu. That's why I brought it up. So anyway, happy anniversary, and
thanks, Todd.
You're doing a great job.
Now I've got an earworm. Damn it!
Hey, that's because the dude came in your ear, man. You shouldn't let that shit happen.
Well, they're invisible. How am I supposed to stop it? I mean, I've got the cans on, for Christ's sakes.
You're serious?
Yeah, I've got headphones on. What do you want?
Oh, man.
I mean, you'd think that would stop a demon.
Well,
I mean, it's not like these are little earbuds that you can just wear. I mean, you know, these are full-ons. I mean, damn, these are, you know, these are Audio Technica M50Xs.
Uh-oh. I thought you were going to say Sennheiser.
Oh, I can't afford Sennheisers. Maybe. Hell, if I was really highfalutin, I'd have stacks, electrostatic ear speakers.
Oh, boy.
But those little bastards are $2,500, $3,000 a pair, and then you have to pay for the driver.
Most people here have earphones. I will say this: you know, a lot of folks maybe don't look at what they're buying when they buy earphones. But you know, I've got some earbuds. I got them online, and you really have to look at the frequency distribution when you buy your earphones.
Oh yes, you do.
Most of them go 10 to 10. I got these ones. These are 5 to 20. And they were $10, and they're noise isolated. There were $7.99, and they have an aluminum body. And I mean, literally, when you put them
nice. In what's the make?
Q Bud. I'll get back to you on that because I mean, they're so good. I bought three pairs. Right, I bought three pairs, and I gave one away, and I keep one for a spare because you know I have to have earbuds. I just have to. But that's how good they are. They have a nice heavy rubber cord, and they come with extra, extra stuff to go in your ear.
Well, I have professional level made by Starkey Labs in-ear monitors, but I get frustrated with them because you've got to use these little tiny. They've got these little tiny things that going to ruin somebody's meal. That collect ear goo, mm-hmm. And every so often you've got to change them out. And you've got to waller them out with this little wire hickey, so I opt for the cans.
Well, right. Well, right. I'm talking about for personal use. Like if I was broadcasting, which I plan to do in the next 10 years. But Yeah, you have to, you know, you have to do what you have to do with that. But I'm just saying for folks, you know, because you can spend a lot of money, and I look at the frequency response. I'm like, wow, you paid $60 for those, you know, and the ones that come with the phone, they're okay, but they're not nearly as good as these I found online. But I'll get back to you on that, because and that's how good they are. I saved all the information, bookmarked it. But I'm sure that other folks want to speak, and it was nice talking with you, and these folks got to work on the fecundity. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's so much harder to conceive a white baby than any other. Because, you know, you got to get the Perry Como music. You have to dance a quadrille. I mean,
there's a lot. Yeah, it's not like the black folks who just stand in the street. Hey, want to fuck?
Yeah, right. No, I mean, it's much more sacred than that. I mean, you have to have a good, upstanding, God-fearing, evangelical, Bible-believing, Christ-centered wedding. And what's more, the first white baby, both of them have to be virgins, which means they got no clue, and that's how you wind up with the nostril sex.
Oh, man, you're going to hell for that. Damn.
A prophet is never welcome in his own land, and you know, don't get much more whiter than me.
Oh boy. Well.
And by the way, yes, talking about going to hell, I did just say more whiter. They're going to pull my art of word knowing card, Todd, and it's your fault.
No, you're just being colloquial. That's all. That's all it is. Come on, you know how it is. I had my little talk at the convenience store today. And sometimes I go in there, I'm like, oh shit, I don't even want to say anything. You know, you take that deep breath.
Letting go now, letting go now.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. You just gotta.
Well, hey man, hang in there, and I know it's gonna be chilly up there in the mountains, probably.
Oh, we were down to freezing last night. It was kind of brisk. Yeah, pretty soon I'm going to start watching the electric meter turn like a carnival pinwheel.
Oh, don't bring that up. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm not acclimated yet, but I'm gonna have to do something here. I got my stuff out. It's been chilly here. It got down to the 40s last night.
Someday we'll actually have a furnace here, and that will be really cool. But yeah, till then.
Okay.
Todd, you take care, my friend.
Okay, you too, man.
All right, see ya. Bye now.
All right.
Calling from South Carolina, Stan. That's our buddy Todd. And from far San Diego way, we have Punky and Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, that was quick.
Yeah, it was. That was kind of.
Well, listen, old Barbarino. Earlier you were talking about the minister, the radio minister, who was ranting and raving about the inflatable spider Halloween demon-possessed lawn ornaments that would upset his dog and himself to no end.
Gator. Dog's name's Gator.
Gator, yeah, little Gator. Good boy.
Yeah, Gator's such girl. A good boy. It's such and, a... Gator's a good boy. It's a pity he has to live with an evangelical, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered fundy.
But here's the deal. I'm sitting here kind of composing my thoughts because I wanted... It reminded me of something that I hadn't thought about in many a moon, and that is a lot of these religious folks believe in something theologically called the Great White Throne Judgment. And according to this, after the rapture, after the second coming, after all that rigmarole, everybody who's ever lived and who has ever died will be gathered in one place somewhere in the great beyond. And then one by one...
Aren't they going to be just shocked as hell when it turns out to be Kolob? Never mind. Well, go ahead.
one by one, and I don't know how they'll do it, whether it'll be by the date of death or whether it'll be alphabetically or by height or weight or whatever. But one by one, everyone who has ever lived and ever died will stand before the great white throne, brackets, of judgment, close brackets, and Jesus and God and whomever else will all be there. There'll be a big screen, and every moment of everyone's entire life, up to including our thought life, will be reviewed, presumably in HDTV, on a giant screen.
Well, and does everybody have to watch everybody else's?
I would think so, because then you have the benefit, so-called, of sweating and fretting while the other person gets his eternal ass handed to him or soul handed to him because of what he either did or didn't do or thought or didn't think. Okay? Now, how many people have been alive since the world began, first of all? This will give you an idea why heaven involves time frames known as eternity, because it's going to take that long just to process everybody.
Yeah, I know, but the cavemen are going to be, you know, the pre-Quest for Fire cave people, the proto-humans are going to be kind of, aren't they? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, never mind pre-Quest for, the pre-language humans. I mean, they're just going to sit there and give you that bemused dog thing with the head tilted to one side, you know, while the Almighty's sitting there rattling off, I presume, in Hebrew.
Yeah, well, like the old, what was it, the old Geico commercials with the Neanderthal. You remember those? Was it Geico or was it Progressive? No, it's Progressive, I think.
Yeah, so easy, even a caveman could do it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, whichever one it was involved cave people. But anyway, I had originally heard, now see, being Catholic, we never got into the intricacies of what happens next beyond the standard Catholic doctrine. It wasn't until I was like 19 and fell in with a bunch of Baptists that I had any idea about this thing called the Great White Throne Judgment, okay? And how I heard about it wasn't so much in churches or from ministers that I associated with, but from these little publications known as chick tracts.
Yes, yes, little, found on rest area urinals the world over and truck stop urinals. And
there's not a person alive who has not at one time or another encountered a comic gospel tract.
And if you picked written, one, and if you picked one up, there's not another. There's not a person who hasn't had what's called the loading dose of penicillin.
but these were drawn and written by a gentleman named Jack Chick. So, as you were talking about the Gator, the Wonder Dog, and the inflatable demon-possessed Halloween spiders, I'm thinking, well, gee whiz, if I'm going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment and Jack Chick, I ought to Google to make sure he's still upright and above ground. Well, it turns out he
Which
died.
He ain't.
No, he just died this past Sunday. So one wonders where he is in the proceedings in terms of the Great White Throne.
You want to know? He's standing up there, and in English, St. Peter's looking at him going, really, Jack, in the nostril?
And he was very anti-Catholic there for a while. That was one of his claims to fame. He thought that the Catholic Church, that the Pope was an unredeemed Jew, and that the entire organization was symbolically known in the Bible as the Whore of Babylon. I mean, this guy was off the twig. But, Jesus. But anyway, it brings me back to what was his name, Rick Wiles?
That's our boy.
Okay. If that's how it's going to play out in the great by and by, everything that he has ever uttered on radio or television or in his life generally and specifically, we're all going to get to watch. It's like get your tickets early and pop up a lot of popcorn because the show's about to commence. But I don't know what got me thinking about that. But I was kind of sorry in a way that old Jack has gone to that great drawing board in the sky, presumably, because his comics were quite entertaining in their own twisted way.
Oh, they were delightful. And let me just add to this Great White Throne Judgment scenario this much.
Okay.
It's going to come as a real surprise to, and I'm relying on the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, for this. It's going to come as a real surprise to the dead Oral Robertses and dead Jerry Falwells and so forth. To get up there and find out that, no, it's not that time that you, while thinking about, you know, that woman. No, it's the fact that you spent your entire life making other people scared and miserable about the only life that they had.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's going to get your little noggin just pinched right off like a tick off a hound dog and squished beneath the boot of the Almighty, assuming any of that was any actually real, which, of course, it, you know, isn't.
Well, as true as that is, there may also be other moments that are not, that people will hang their head in shame in the great beyond. And one of them might be when they're striding down a sidewalk and they step over a street person lying in a puddle of his own piss on their way to a Right to Life rally. Okay.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, there in the Lamb's Book of Life, Peter writes down three pineapples.
No, I don't get the pineapples. What?
Oh, you never saw Little Nicky? Adam Sandler?
No, because
where Hitler spends eternity in a French maid's dress getting a pineapple shoved spiny parts first up his ass?
Oh, mercy. Well, I'm going to start going to church again because I don't want that fate to befall me. I've got enough trouble. Ooh, damn. That gave me the heebie-jeebies, Bob.
You should get the visual. Rent the movie. I mean, okay, it's an Adam Sandler movie, so it's not going to be very funny.
Right, okay.
But that visual. And God knows the creepy little exorcist-y voice that he came up with for the film. It's annoying as hell.
I'll check that out. No, when you said Little Nicky, I immediately thought back to old Jack Chick because I think that was an actual title of one of his little...
I wouldn't be the least surprised. I figure, well, depending upon one's musical taste, some people would immediately go not to Jack Chick, but to Darling Nicky.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Which is a totally different thing. I think it has something to do with something that the evangelicals think can make you go to hell. We kind of jumped into prayer meeting Wednesday a little early, didn't we, Scott?
Yeah, I did. Well, anyway, but because of the inflatable demon-possessed spiders agitating the dog, and then finding out about poor old Jack Chick, I maybe jumping the gun will not be bad. I sent you a couple of links from that I found while I was waiting to dial in. So save those for tomorrow because his life bears looking into. It may be a while since we get to see it happen at the Great White Throne Judgment. It's the ultimate halftime show, okay?
He was such a hung-up, weird bastard. I don't even want to watch his movie at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Well, how would it be rated, I wonder?
Are you kidding? triple X with an I for incest, an N for nostrils, and yeah.
Ah, mercy. Mercy. And actually, a few years ago, I was wondering whether he was still upright and above ground. So I Googled his name, and there are actually a couple of pretty interesting articles about the guy. I couldn't disagree more with him in terms of his theology and his take on life. Wait a minute. Oh, Punky, you stopped. Go ahead. Wait a minute. Can you hear him?
Yeah, tell him that'll grow hair on his claws.
Well, he's in here. I put him in the bathroom so he could talk to his friend in the mirror. And he's making lovey-dovey talk to his little friend in the mirror.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's going to hell, too. We're all gone, Bob. Let's get a group rate. Let's hire a bus.
Damn straight. And get a decent caterer, will you?
But anyway, in reading up on the guy some years ago, rather fascinating, and one wonders how someone gets to the point in their thinking or non-thinking that they're that damn hateful, you know? And it's sad.
Yeah, I know.
And it's one of the reasons, I mean, maybe I'll get demerit points as a progressive because for what I'm about to say, but I look on the news and there are times when I have trouble empathizing with some of these other places in other parts of the world who are ravaged by the natural outcome of religion and religious war. Okay, it's like ultimately you folks are going to have to figure it out for yourself, and eventually you're going to have to come to the conclusion that a lot of people in the Western culture did years and years ago, and that is to question everything you've been told and taught, especially in the realm of politics and theology.
Well, yeah, okay, so here's an example. I've got one. Brother Deacon Asa sent this to me, and I was saving it for tomorrow, but we're not going to want for material tomorrow.
No,
there's an evangelical pastor in South Africa. I don't remember his name right off the bat, but he sent a cell phone picture of his junk, and he thought he was sending it to the woman who was, you know, not his wife, and he was married. And it said, the wife is out of town. This is all yours tonight. Only he sent it to his entire congregation by mistake.
Love it. I love it.
But then he had the common decency to hang himself. In America, I mean, Jimmy Swaggart didn't hang himself. He got behind the piano and wept a little bit and played a couple of chords and said, I have sinned against you, and made more money.
I know.
And so, yeah, I'm. But you know, look. Let me go back. I'm not going to judge your progressive street cred, Scott, because that's not my job. That is apparently the job of the unicorn cavalry, and they will.
Well,
street cred a long time ago and found you wanting.
Well, probably, but that's all right.
But just, you know, let me just to finish up. I read the story about the pastor hanging himself, and my first inclination was it went something like this. And then I kind of stopped and went, wait. You know, why couldn't it? Why couldn't he have talked to somebody? Why couldn't somebody have explained to him that his entire belief structure was just pure make-believe, nothing but fantasy?
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe if that's what he was doing, he needed to, you know, work out some stuff and make the best of whatever remained of his life.
And he actually did hang himself.
But I mean, there's other stories. I mean, he killed himself. He's dead. You know, he's pining for the fjords. But well, I remember way back, since it's anniversary time, way back during terrestrial radio, getting a lot of shit from the terrestrial audience there in America's fifth smallest radio market, because I had a real giggle fest over the Baptist minister who waded into the baptistry with a hot mic on and no more minister.
I'm sorry,
I lose more putty tats that way, you know. Well, and then you hate yourself because you know there's a lot of misery. You know, dear friend of Jerry Falwell. We've even got a song about it.
Well, that's the one I was going to mention.
You can't buy a dildo in Alabama, but he was found with one in one end, one in the other, two rubber diving suits, and dead. Because the wife was out of town.
There's a Southern gospel tune in there somewhere. Two dildos, two wetsuits.
No. The name of the song is Dildo from Montgomery. And it's done to the tune of John Prine's Angel from Montgomery. And the chorus is, send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery.
Oh, man.
You get the idea.
Well, and see, you know, getting back to what you're saying, it does have to do ultimately with these people pausing for a moment, shutting their otherwise open mouths, opening their ears a little bit, and most of all, opening their minds, and just conjugating, if you is that a word? Conjugating, thinking of.
Not only is it a word, it's a thing.
Yeah. Just basically being with the remote possibility in their minds that there is another way of looking at stuff than the one that you are willing to die of shame for because you're a fucking human being. Okay? Oh, man. You talk about a tragedy. The guy down in South Africa and some of these other poor schmucks, those are tragedies because they willingly died for their beliefs, and their beliefs apparently were nothing more than beliefs. They, you know, it's that old saying, truth is obviously what so, not so obviously, it is also so what, you know?
And beyond that, they didn't die for their beliefs, they died for their fears, they died for their prejudices. There's a difference, but we'll save some of that for tomorrow, Scott.
All right.
That's
well,
permanent
anyway,
stuff.
Other than that, I'm not afraid of spiders, whether they're inflatable, demon-possessed, or the actual ones that congregate around here from time to time, especially in the autumn when the weather begins to change. So I have no fear of them. My bird's not afraid of them. My cat's not afraid of them.
Yeah, but I saw a solid black woolly worm here the other day, and that is not a good sign. But then again, somebody else has seen a solid white woolly worm, and that just means it's going to be a blizzard from, you know, the first snow till the last. I mean, just covered.
Yeah, I don't know.
But actually what it means is that these critters change colors through the course of the season from brown to black, and once in a while you get an albino. Well, I hope Punky's not in there going blind.
No, he's not. He's just visiting with his friend and talking, you know, sweet talk to him. Years ago, he used to have a mate.
Right.
Trixie the cockatiel, but Trixie passed on about 12 or 14 years ago. And other than occasionally humping my hand, which I try to discourage, or talking, come on, Pug, come on in here with me, you antisocial little pervert. Okay. Other than talking to his little friend in the mirror or trying to hump my hand every now and again, which I don't permit, you know, he's leads a rather quiet, sedate, celibate life. His great halftime show during the Great White Throne Judgment will be rather boring, I would say.
Yeah, but see, it's remember, we're watching the thoughts too, and God only knows what kind of filthy thoughts a cockatiel has.
One wonders indeed. Yeah.
Wait. It's enough to make one quail with fear.
Ooh.
That one's going up on the screen.
When you mentioned thoughts that cockatiels may or may not have, he actually hung his little birdie head kind of in shame. So he's been thinking.
Tell him I know.
Has.
knows all, tells all. I don't just say things.
Anyway, go into some of the history of Jack Chick tomorrow during prayer meeting Wednesday, because some people, they may have seen the little booklets, the little comic books, but they have no idea who this guy is. Maybe they wondered, you know, how can someone be that twisted? And Bob will tell all tomorrow.
It's not that much of a challenge, really. We're humans. We're twisted. Poor old Og standing there in front of the White Throne Judgment going, huh?
All right, Bob. Well, listen, I'll move along, let someone new come in.
All right. You take care, Scott, and tell Punky we said good night, and tell him it's okay. As long as everybody was consenting, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect? A little creature that has no arms, just wings, and no hands, just claws. You know, you've got to get your jollies the best way you can, and if that's humping your human friend's hand or talking to the other bird in the mirror, well, go for it. You know, life's short.
Yeah, well, indeed. Scott, have a good night, and a better one to Punky. Later.
Okay, see ya.
Bye now. Yeah, a note coming from David in South Carolina, Stan. Subject line, she wore a wig. Remember the Church of Christ preacher, Selmer, Tennessee? Yes, I do. Whose wife was acquitted of shotgunning him to death because he made her wear a wig and talk nasty? What's the name of the drive-by trucker song? It's either that wig he made her wear or is it those shoes? Because he wanted her to wear a blonde, you know, really trashy wig and big old platform hooker heels. And he was the pastor of the Church of Christ there in Selmer, Tennessee. And she 12-gauged him right in the back at close range. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Quick note coming in. I'm going to the stress line in just a sec. A little game being proposed by Carol Baker. She's been working on the evening lineup of Trump TV now that he's experimenting with Facebook Live. And we need some help with the rest of the programming schedule. You may recall the heroic efforts, the yeoman efforts of Michael and Madison on Meet the Fetals. Carol says, I don't think Don has a prayer at this point. I've been pondering the Wednesday lineup on Trump TV. You know, All in the Clavern, Everybody Loves Adolf, The Price is Right, Fatherland Knows Best, The Sean Hannity Show. Because you can't improve on perfection. That's more difficult than grabbing the clean end of a turd. So as Carol notes, feel free to play along. And there's tons of potential here and days of programming to fill out. And maybe Donald the Anus Mouthed will provide you with trademark it, and then you can sue his ass. I like it. Okay, over to the stress line. Is it possible? Could it be? Is that you, Brother Deacon Gerald? Hello? Hello? Hello, on the stress line. West Virginia area code, Charleston number. Yeah, that's definitely somebody somewhere. Yeah, that's
Can you hear me?
There he is. And you're connected to the Bluetooth and everything. Okay, we'll disconnect that and maybe hear back on it. For some people, the stress line works. For some people, it doesn't. I don't know why. In the meantime, a couple of notes. This comes from Carol in Las Vegas. I think Carol tried to reach the program, and for some reason we couldn't quite make it work. A new iOS update came through today, and that may have completely screwed up the stress line. I don't know. But Carol in Vegas said, "Well, I voted today, and I ended up voting for Hillary. I did this for one reason and one reason only, Social Security. I'll be 63 next month, and I will need this program that I've been paying into since I was 17. Never before have I had such a shitty feeling standing in line to vote. I have no idea if I did the right thing or not, and I totally understand people like Jay Cruz and Andy that have other opinions on how they will approach this election. I've always in the past felt good walking out of the voting booth, but not today." Carol in Las Vegas. I'm not going to, I'm not going to run cheering out of the voting booth either. No one was cheering while they were holding the city gates against, Attila the Hun. But they did hold the gates, or try to, against Attila the Hun. And I don't know, maybe there were some Romans at the time who said, fuck it. Just open the gates. Let the Huns pour through. Let them rape and pillage. Who gives a shit? Because that does, that's the modern equivalent of the burn it down, so what if Trump becomes president philosophy. So, it's a real thing. Thanks for, thank you. Thank you for doing that in an important swing state, Carol. Thank you very kindly. Meanwhile, some on-the-ground reporting from China in regard to Rick Wiles and his Chinese Christians who don't dare sing or else the commies will come and get them. Steve, who is, in China, said, "In fact, Christian churches are common hereabouts, though the services are more occasions of family get-togethers with folks enjoying lots of good food and just socializing. Something kind of like a Unitarian free-for-all. No one's listening to the preacher, and he's usually just something blaring from a TV monitor anyway. I worked at a school just up the street from a Christian university also. They celebrated Christmas with great fanfare and singing and socializing, complete with a giant Yule log burning at midnight. Something to scare the bejesus out of these evangelical idiots. Buddha, really, is in the Chinese version of Christianity. Not too serious, designed for decent life. Communism? Well, no one over here gives a great shit for that anymore. Capitalism is so much more, profitable, right?" And Ron in Raleigh says, "For November 9th, I hope you have na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye queued up." Oh, I think we will. And maybe that fuck you song, too. And Steve in China added one other note. The chick evangelical tracks, these things are hilarious, and have made the ear-banging service at your typical inner-city rescue mission tolerable for over 50 years. Just the thing to top off a hearty bowl of beans, stale bread, and Kool-Aid, too. I speak from experience. Regards, Steve in China." And now that I think we've actually got him back, let's check in with Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee. What's happening, Gerald?
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
I got you fine. I don't know what was going on over on the stress line.
Operator, we've cut off. I don't know. Room 321, please. I don't know if you'll even get that reference.
Sarah?
So what's been going on?
Now
you're supposed to ask me that.
Well, that's true, we do, we do everything different here.
I've been scrambling around all day trying to get my communist card punched because, damn it, when Hillary wins, I'm going to be out if I don't get this card punched.
And you can't, it's West Virginia, you can't find anybody to punch it, right?
Right. It's just like the Democrats for coal signs that I've seen. plastered along the roads.
Oh, well, that
have
could,
you seen those?
No, I haven't seen those yet, but
go down to Boone County. That's
That sounds like a Joe Manchin family project.
Oh yeah, guarantee it. Yeah.
But I was told that Jim Justice was Joe Manchin's handpicked guy.
Well, he probably is. Who knows? It's just, you know how it is here. Scott's talking about the chick tracks. I never knew what they were called, but I'd seen them around for years and years. And there's a place in South Charleston, the Nova Rubber Company. You've probably heard of them. Got big letters on the building that says Jesus Saves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. A couple years ago, we were working in the stamping plant down there, and I had to have a special fitting to hook to the fire water protection to run a concrete saw. And the superintendent, we had sent me over to get it, and it came out, and we were talking to the other boss about it. He said, yeah. He said he found it over there. He said he had to get saved before they'd sell it to him. I guess she had to be there, but it was kind of funny.
No, but that capitalism for Christ.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, you know, they've got all those up on the wall, all kinds of that religious publications, all that stuff is in there. I mean, the place is just filled with it. I'm like, how are you supposed to sell any damn hydraulic hoses in here with all this stuff in the way? But, you know, they're the only game in town, basically, is why.
They've got the market cornered for hydraulic hoses and Jesus.
Yeah.
Or maybe for hydraulic Jesus.
Hydraulic Jesus. Little baby hydraulic Jesus. I can hear Ricky Bobby praying to him now.
Dear baby hydraulic Jesus.
In your little JIC fitting diapers.
let your hydraulic fluids flow upon us.
Yeah. Hey, I saw a woolly worm today. It was black and brown. What's that mean?
Could you tell which way the woolly worm was going?
It was going west.
God damn it, was the black end moving or the brown?
It was brown in the middle, damn it.
Well, you're about useless as tits on a boar. You know that, Gerald?
Well, hey.
Wait, it was brown on both ends and black in the middle?
No, it was black on both ends and brown in the middle. Why in the hell are we even having this conversation?
You brought it up.
I didn't know you were going to pervert it into something that it wasn't supposed to be.
So that means hard winter early, mellowing in the middle, and hard winter late.
You know, I don't think it means a damn thing.
Actually, it means that the color change process is halfway done. But then again, Carol told me she saw a snow white woolly worm on her front deck today, and I don't know. That's two now.
What's that mean? Does that mean Jesus is coming or what?
Yeah, get a tissue.
I don't know.
Solid black is supposed to be just a brutal ass winter, but solid white's probably like the a climate change blizzard apocalypse.
Well, maybe what they've been saying is true. You know, it'll be about the time that Hillary is, if she wins, that's about the time she'll be inaugurated. When the weather starts getting bad, or at least around here anyway, because we really don't have any winters until, you know, January, February.
I remember being out trying to deer hunt on first day of deer season back in the 90s, and, you know, 75 degrees.
Yeah, in a t-shirt.
Yeah, camo, of course, camo t-shirt.
Yeah, and it
with blaze orange.
Wasn't a very successful hunt either, was it?
Oh, hell no. There's all up in the hills laid down in the multi-floor rows.
Well, yeah, they were having heat strokes.
But I tell you what, back in the day, I looked some kind of awesome in a blaze orange camo t-shirt.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I bet there are pics. Pics or it didn't happen.
There are pics, but they're gone.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
How convenient. Just lost
the
damned emails, I guess.
Got lost in the move. Just like you. Well, Hillary. They're probably in. No, those pics are probably in Hillary's emails.
Right. Right. Well, have you been able to get your communist card punched? Because I can't. I'm just not doing any good.
No, I can't find. I can't find me. I can't find me a Politburo. It's not so much as a Politburo functionary or a member of the Comintern.
What about your plain old run of the mill demon? Can they do it?
Only if they're communist.
Well, Hillary is the devil.
Yeah, you go. You ask her to punch your commie card.
Well, I will.
I mean, not unless you donate $3 fucking, baby.
Three.
I mean, how many Hillary donation emails are you getting a day now?
Do you read today? You actually read that shit?
No, but I see it come in.
Oh no, I don't actually get those. I get.
I'm averaging three or four a day, I'm getting three or four a day, which tells me, yes, Bernie turned over the list.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I don't know. That's interesting. Are you going to vote early?
No, I'm a traditionalist. I like to go on election day.
Oh, well, I'm going to vote early. I'm going to try to do it Friday, if I'm off Friday.
You think you can get your commie card punched that day, maybe too?
Maybe. You know.
Used to be you could just go down to the Union Hall and get your commie card punched.
Oh no, we have to take an oath that we're not commies. At least the officers do, anyway.
Yeah, but your commie will lie doing that because he knows that he can do that. To advance the cause of global communism.
Yeah, but it's right there in the swearing in stuff when you swear in, and when you win an elected office at the local union level, you know, it's right in there. I got to promise I'm not a member or never have been, never will be a member of the Communist Party of the United States.
Does that mean after you get past retirement age, you can join?
Probably. I don't know. Well, no, you can't hold an office if you're retired.
Well, that's what I mean.
You're working at the calling. What? Well, then you wouldn't have to worry about swearing in. Because you wouldn't be holding an office.
Right. So what you have to do is, you know, you've not been a member and you're not going to join and you're not now. But in your heart you are. So you wait till you retire and then you go get all official. And then you can punch our cards.
Oh. Is that how it works? Well, probably not now that we're a right-to-work state. That's probably all over with. Democrats for coal and all that shit.
Yeah, and that's COLE, not COAL.
Well, either way, does it matter?
Because, see, I got a problem, Gerald.
Okay.
And I need a little help here.
Well...
Did you happen to see or read about the second gubernatorial debate here?
No, I did not see it, nor did I read about it. I have chosen to tune out on all of that shit. Because just like the presidential election, I'm not very happy with the choices.
Well, neither am I, but... Here's my problem. In that debate, a question was asked to Jim Justice. Did he want the votes of progressive Democrats? And he said, I only want the votes of people who support coal. Now, I've been in a quandary over the gubernatorial election for a while.
Yes, I understand your
not happy
dilemma.
With the choices.
Yes.
A herd of rabid, angry elephants could not drag me into a voting booth and make me vote for Bill Cole. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, I'm there with you, brother, but I'm not overly excited about the other choices either.
And that's my problem. Jim Justice, well, you know, if you want to go with the politically pragmatic approach, yeah, okay, Jim Justice, and then pray to God we get the House and Senate back in some form, you know, because you can't have progressive change until you've got you can't do anything until you've got power, and you cannot create progressive change out of a bunch of raw milk teabaggers.
Well, on that note, where are you going to find any progressives in the state legislature after this election?
Well,
because there aren't very many running, and the few that I would actually consider progressives aren't seeking re-election. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, but you know what it. I'd like to have any race to be excited about. So I've got my slate of Democrats running for the House of Delegates in this county, Gerald.
Yes.
Is the oldest slate in the state. I think the youngest Democratic candidate for House of Delegates that I'm going to have a chance to vote for is like 77.
Interesting.
But anything to get rid of Tom Fast, right?
Anything. Kind of here.
But if we go back to the Jim Justice thing, if that man doesn't want my vote, is it wrong of me to give it to him?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I really don't know the answer to that, and I'm not
trying to put you on the spot, and I'm not trying to find out, you know, what
well,
you're going to do.
I'm going to vote for Justice. I can't vote for Bill Cole, and I'll tell you why I'm going to vote for Jim Justice. If for this only reason, and the other reason is that Charlotte Pritt running on the third party ticket. She, you know, third parties don't win. I'm with her on a lot of the issues. I mean, she's right there, but they don't win. The main reason I'm going to vote, I'm not going to so much support Justice. He's behind Labor. Labor supports him, especially organized Labor. And I have heard, you know, despite all the bad things you hear about, he's not paying his bills and stuff. I happen to know some of the people that are in charge of the union down there at the Greenbrier, and he's always been, you know, they've always gotten paid on time, and their benefits are always paid, and which is a lot better than a lot of people or a lot of owners and contractors. So, you know, he's always been supportive of unions, even if he wasn't openly supportive about it, if you get what I mean. And, you know, that's one of the reasons. The other reason is I can't stand Bill Cole because I already know what he, you know, I already know his agenda. Well, I already know who's pulling his strings. So, you know, lesser of two evils shit again. I really don't like to vote this way, but, you know, that's how it turned out.
Well, it is how it turned out. And I'm pretty much, and I'll get hate mail for this, of course. I don't want to reward the Mountain Party, because the Mountain Party is never going to do anything but siphon progressive energies away from ever getting anything accomplished.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about it too. I mean, I'm with them on, you know, 90% of their issues. I'm with them on, but what they should be doing, and this is just my opinion, and it doesn't mean anything, but what these Mountain Party people should be doing is they need to take over the Democratic Party in this state and actually make it a Democratic Party, because that's basically what they are.
Which is pretty much what happened at the state convention last June. And
right.
only by a desperate, desperate last-minute onslaught of sleaze by the perennial losers in the Manchin camp, did they prevent a complete takeover from taking place?
And that would have been marvelous. If Chris Regan had won, that would have been amazing.
And, you know, he's not going gently into that good night. He was the keynote speaker at the Democratic, the Fayette County Democratic dinner last Saturday night, which I didn't know about but would have attended had I known.
I don't think we've seen the last of him, and I hope not. But, you know, you and I have spoken about this before, and you, even on your own you spoke about it. You know, all we've had here were, at best, blue dog Democrats in this state for, you know, they say, oh, they controlled for 83 years, yeah, and 50 of them were blue dogs. 50 years of it, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's never been more than anything but Republican light. So, yeah, that... To speak about any progressives,
I mean, I know there are progressives, and you know there are progressives, because you're one and I'm one. And
but we can't get elected.
No, and you know, the best progressive in the state of West Virginia, by far, bar none, in my book, is Boss Man Wayne. And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah.
I think about all those lectures that I broadcasted for our friends at Seneca 2. Those are progressive people, and they're serious about their progressivism. And a lot of them were there at the convention in June, and they made a damn fine effort. And come 2020, it may be even better.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. If more progressives, and we can't be the only ones, if more of us were to get on the county executive committees and things like that, you know, win those elections, maybe things would change here. Maybe. But, you know as well as I do, you've got Joe Manchin up there who controls the party. I always thought that was a bunch of bullshit until past couple of years, and I realize it is true.
Yeah, he's the highest-ranking Democrat in the state. He.
And he's another one of those blue dogs. I mean, he always has been. But,
it was a long time ago, back all the way back on terrestrial radio, when a very savvy fella said, "You got to figure this out quick." Joe Manchin, nor any member of the Manchin family, has ever voted for a Democrat whose name wasn't Manchin.
Hmm.
And it's the truth.
A lot of truth to that. Yeah, a lot of truth to that.
I mean, they've been selling out Democrats since A. James was helping Arch Moore become governor.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. There's a lot of races here that are going to be really close, that are really close. And then there are some that I think are going to be, a lot of people are going to be surprised. Even here in the 40th, we've got Melissa Huffman running against our speaker, Tim Armstead. And this is the first time he's actually faced any real opposition since the redistricting in, you know, 6 years ago. And I think she's got him on the ropes. I see an awful lot of her yard signs in yards. Which is a good sign.
How many Hillary signs have you seen so far?
Counting the one that I haven't seen today, none.
Ah, okay.
I haven't seen any anywhere.
I've seen one Hillary bumper sticker.
I think I've seen one. It was probably the same car that you saw.
I saw it twice in the Walmart parking lot.
They're brave souls. They are, where they don't care much about their car.
But
I'm not sure as hell wouldn't put one on my car.
You know, we don't matter. We may wind up being the most solidly Trump state in the union, Gerald, and that'll be horribly embarrassing.
Well, get ready to be embarrassed.
But I think the country would do better to pay a little more attention here. Because, this place is different from, I think this place is different from most of the Trump supporters. You know, the reality of the Republican Party is they are a bunch of Klansmen and Nazis and skinheads and stormfronters, white nationalists and whatnot. That's nationally. Racists we've got here. And yes, the Klan is operating in West Virginia, we know, because Boss Man Wayne has to take the tire iron with him when he goes to pick up the mail.
Right.
But this is still a state where the majority of people are registered Democratic.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
It's changing.
But is it just all about coal?
You know, that is the number one topic with anyone on the street. I can't be against coal and be for the state. And, well, you know it, and I know it. We need to move on from our extraction industry mindset. I've said this before, I've even said it on the air with you. I don't understand why the people of this state have been so willing to take it up the backside for out-of-state extraction industries, because all that's left are moonscapes from mountaintop removal mines and abandoned deep mines that blow out and contaminate creeks and rivers and just cause all kinds of problems. Coal sludge dams that break and kill hundreds of people. I've never understood why it was so important to the people of this state to have that. I mean, if we're not talking about big coal, we're talking about big oil, which is probably a little known fact, the oil and gas industry in this state, big timber, help me out here, what else? Big chemical.
Big Walmart.
And big pharma. Well, they're not really extracting anything. But
I mean, I'm hoping we might get a new attorney general. I mean, that's the bright spot. That's probably the one race I'm more excited to vote in than any other.
I was going to kind of hit on that a little bit here. So I had some information that you might find, and you may know it, but the Gazette Mail did an article on it, and I took some notes here with our current attorney general. You know, he was a lobbyist for Cardinal Health in the. I don't have the exact article. I just have notes I've written down here. But Cardinal sent double as the next highest wholesaler. Between 2007 and 2012, Cardinal Health shipped 85.5 million oxycodone pills and 155.6 million hydrocodone pills to West Virginia.
Jesus.
And doing a little, I broke the math down for you. That's 154 doses of hydrocodone for every man, woman, and child in the state over 5 years, and 85 oxycodone pills for every person of the same. They ship more painkillers here than 11 other wholesalers combined. So, and we're just talking about Cardinal Health here. We're not talking about, what's the other one, Milan?
Milan? Yeah.
Yeah, there's several of them. And let's see, they shipped 8.8 million hydrocodone and 1.8 million oxycodone to Logan County, McDowell County, 3 million hydrocodone and 1.5 million oxycodone, McDowell being the poorest in the nation. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Oh, I did know that, yes.
The numbers pulled from all these numbers were pulled from the DEA info unsealed in a Boone County case. Let me see, because I just jotted stuff down here. Cardinal sent $241 million, Amerisource, Burson, $118.9 million, and the third was McKesson at $99.5 million. A total of 459.4 million pills sent here between those three. If you break the math down, the population in this state was 1.834 million people. So if we divide that out, that is 250. Let me see. I did my math.
I'm leaving the cipher into you.
Yeah, it was 83 days. So you took three doses a day. if it were prescribed, and this was combined hydrocodone and oxycodone, for 83 and a half days of the year would be three doses per day for every person in the state, according to those numbers, or that population, which we know that's gone down since then. You know, it was almost 10 years ago. So they shipped enough pills to this in this state to fuel everyone here on opioids for 83 days if you were taking it three times a day.
Wait, say that again.
Okay, if there were enough pills shipped to this state between 2007 and 2012 for every person in this state to take three doses a day for 83 days, 83 and a half days, actually.
Who got them all?
Well,
you didn't. I didn't.
They went to Logan McDowell County in the southern part of the state. But they're around here too. I mean, you know, people are taking it. Well, it's not as bad as it was. Now they're doing the heroin and shit. But I mean, aren't those numbers staggering?
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, were people secretly funneling them all to Rush Limbaugh? I mean, okay, so I'm being a little facetious. But if there was enough
doses
for everybody to take three a day for 83 days, then what that works out to over the course of that period of time is that significantly less people in this state were taking a handful of them every damn day for years.
Right. Yeah, so that's basically what that means. Like I said earlier, you know, Cardinals sent enough for 154 doses of hydrocodone, which is Lortabs, and 85 oxycodones for every person in the state. I mean, that's just staggering, the amount of pills. I mean,
the numbers for liquor aren't like that.
I don't even understand how that's even possible. Without someone noticing. I mean, someone had to notice.
How many of those do you think? And this is just speculation. How many of those left the state?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You mean like to Detroit?
Among other places.
South.
Detroit, or, you know, across the river into Kentucky?
Well,
across the river into Ohio, Pittsburgh, maybe?
I'm sure there were a significant number of them that did. It'd be foolish to think that they didn't. But still, I mean, with the small population of this state, that many pain pills. I mean, that's a lot of dope, man. I mean, any way you look at those numbers, that's a lot of pills. And, of course, you know, that lawsuit against Cardinal was filed by our former attorney general, who was defeated by our carpetbagger attorney general now.
Well, our drug company current attorney general, yeah.
Yes.
And he's laid down on the lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's why he was elected. That's why they bought that seat for him.
And meanwhile, James points out by email those pills represents a second income for to some poor people.
Yes, that's true. But I'm just talking about the sheer number of pills, and who knows how accurate these are. Like I said, I took these numbers from the Gazette, and this is actually an old article. It's a couple weeks old. I meant to call in, you know, a while back and talk about it, but I mean, I can't understand that. But, you know, I know people. I do know a few. But I know of people that if they know that you have any, because, I have gotten some legitimately from my, it's some dental work. My dentist has prescribed me some lower-powered hydrocodone. And if they find out that I've got it, they will badger the hell out of me trying to get them. So I don't even let anyone know I have them. And it was so bad back in the day when we worked down at John Amos, during the FGD and all that, when there were so many people down there. I mean, you couldn't keep anything in your lunchbox. You know, if you brought your lunch.
No, and yet the weird part of it, Gerald, is that, I mean, I've made no secret out of the fact that I've had problems where those things to have, you know, I'm not looking to, you know, I was looking for relief, and you can't ask for those things in an emergency room. You can't ask your doctor for those things, no matter how badly you hurt.
Oh, of course not.
Because they'll document your file, junkie.
Yeah, I've heard stories. I don't know how true they are, but I've heard stories about people that work in ER people will come in with abdominal pains or whatever kind of pain, and they'll leave them out there for hours and hours and hours and hours just because they suspect they're faking, trying to get pills. And that may be true, but, you know, I'm sure for all of those cases, there's bound to be some legitimate pain there. So, I mean, it's really sad. It is.
Well, that's part of this discussion, Gerald. This is a heavy industry state where people get their bodies absolutely ruined.
Right.
You know, in support of the miracle that is capitalism. And so there are legitimate reasons for those pain pills to be here, but in that volume.
That's what I'm saying. In that volume, that's just amazing. Of course, you know, we had the problem with the pill mills, you know, the pain clinics, I guess, is what they were calling themselves. And I assume that they've cracked down on those. I've not heard of any more of them for a while. You know, they cracked down on those, and I forget, it's in the southern part of the state was where they were having the most trouble. And the one doctor lost his license and everything because he was one of the ones that prescribed so many of those. But it's wild, isn't it? It's wild that there's that many pills coming into this state from one manufacturer.
Yeah, from one very special manufacturer, right? But I hope we get one of the problems with the maybe it's not an issue for other people, but one of the problems with the race for attorney general is the pill issue has overshadowed some of the more nefarious doings of Patrick Morrisey in regard to other issues, like his support for this batshit crazy doctor who went and, he testified, I think, in front of the legislature about, you know, the poor little fetuses. And it turned, he was tormenting a woman over the workings of her own body. And Morrisey was A-okay with that, you know, because Jeebus.
Well, remember, this is the same guy that loaned his campaign, I forget how much money, it was a lot, and then after he was elected, held fundraisers to pay himself back, which apparently is not illegal. It's unethical, to say the least, but it's not illegal. Real classy guy.
Oh, by the way, it's kind of your district. Is there anything going on with Mooney? Is there any chance he's going to get bounced?
He may. I don't see a lot of. There are a few signs around. Of course, signs aren't a very good indicator, but that race is kind of quiet. I know a lot of people don't like Mark Hunt for some reason, but.
Nah, because lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, what the hell's Mooney?
Well, there's that.
Another interesting one in the 8th senatorial. Glenn Jeffries is challenging Chris Walters, the incumbent. And that's supposed to be a close race. And I just read an article that Walters is complaining about an attack ad by a pack West Virginia Family Values, and one of the stations to pull the ad, and his lawyer was going to sue and all that good shit.
Well, I know we got to get out of here right quick, but I know where you're going to be on Friday.
Most likely. It's usually the first week they're really crowded and it's nowhere to park.
No, I know where you're going to be on Friday. You're going to be at 106 Capitol Street in Charleston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. because Governor Scott Walker is coming to 106 Capitol Street in Charleston to campaign on behalf of Bill Cole.
Well, I've kind of committed to the Trump campaign that day. I'm sure they'll understand though.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, because you know, freedom.
Yeah.
Jameson's Pub and Eatery, and no, I'm sorry, that's Morgantown at 5 o'clock, but noon, 106 Capitol Street in Charleston. Scott Walker, who wants to bring his he to a certain extent. I mean, he and Bill Cole are birds of a feather, right?
What is 106?
108's a law office. No, that's 208. At 106, maybe Sam's or something like that.
I don't know what that is.
Or it might be a law office. Might be some godforsaken Republican lawyer's office.
Oh, it's Bill Cole's campaign headquarters. That's what it is.
Is it?
Yeah. I just Googled it. Yeah, he's got an office there. Well, anyway, hey, we got
to
go.
Yeah, all right. See you, Gerald. Good to talk to you, man.
Okay.
Later. Bye.
All right, thanks, Bob. Bye.
My buddy Gerald, hey, yeah, seriously, time to get out the door. I'm a minute over. Thank you. Thank you to Harold and the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. A reminder, the next three new subscribers get their subscriptions rounded up by $5 for the rest of the year. I mean, for the next 12 months, you know, right? Which is a big damn deal. Plus, you get... every subscriber between now and Election Day gets their subscription, gets $11 added to that, which is awesome. Courtesy of Ralphs. Thank you both. And so we'll be back with Prayer Meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and we got to get out of here, so I'll just say goodnight.